this week is Mental Health Awareness Week. So joining me today on the show is Dr. Grant, consultant psychiatrist at the Priory Group in Chelmsford. Dr. Grant, thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
I thought it'd be great to have you on the show today to just talk a little bit about mental health in general. Could you start maybe by explaining the various areas of mental health issues that people can experience and what the symptoms of those are?
I mean, I think mental health is it's as important as a person's physical health. So therefore, we should be able to talk about it as freely as we would talk about having a broken leg. Mm. And I think there's a whole raft of different mental health problems that people can suffer from, and a whole range of severity of those problems as well. So it can be, from things such as a bereavement that lasts longer than you would normally expect. So it could be some loss. It could be due to stresses, so relationship problems, work problems, right through then to becoming depressed or anxious. And then at the severe end, for people who have severe and enduring mental illness, that can be, that they have what's called bipolar disorder, where they have both lows and high moods, or where they have something like schizophrenia, which is a mental health problem where people lose touch with reality. And that's at the severe end of mental health problems. But so I said, there's a whole spectrum of different conditions, and there's a whole range of severity as well. And we are all susceptible to suffering with some form of mental health problems throughout our life. In fact, one in four of us will suffer with mental health problems at some point in our life. And I think probably with the pandemic, there will be a lot more people.
I think, as you mentioned, they're talking about a spectrum. That's particularly interesting. People can experience all sorts of ranges of issues, and they're all just as valid. They just have different sort of coping mechanisms.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's really important, that, whatever a person is suffering, we as professionals are there to try and support people through it and to get them better.
Absolutely. So you mentioned there about the pandemic and lockdown, and we're seeing statistics on the rise. Can you go into a little bit more detail about that? Why is that, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think since March 2020, life has been beyond anything that we thought was going to be possible. None of us have ever experienced anything like this before, and I don't think we were prepared for it, and we certainly weren't prepared for the duration of it. And I think what I'm seeing is that people who haven't suffered with mental health problems are suffering and are struggling. And for those who have mental health problems, for some of those, their mental health is suffering more so. So, I think in general, people are struggling and have struggled over the last year. And I think the pandemic has brought along added stressors that have interfered with people's emotions. So, and those stresses have come from work, where people have lost their jobs, or where they've been furloughed. And with being furloughed, they've lost routine, they've lost structure. They've also lost contact with people. So within that, comes feelings of isolation and feelings of loneliness. We've been restricted for such a long time and cooped up in confined spaces that we feel that we've lost our personal space, and people are at home, if they are working, trying to work from home, trying to homeschool, trying to be a parent. And it's all been incredibly stressful. And amongst all of that, also the bereavement that people have experienced. There's been loss of loved ones, and they haven't been able to, to attend funerals or even to be with them at the final hours. So I think all of this has just had a significant impact on how people have been affected.
So what are some of the main symptoms and behaviour that people are reporting of struggling with mental health issues?
I think over the last year, I think the one of the main things has been a sense of loss and a sense of loneliness. And that can be, even if you're in a sort of a crowded home because you're all there, you can still feel that sense of isolation and sense of loneliness. And for some people, I think being on their own and not being able to call on their support network has resulted in loneliness and isolation. And actually that can then dip into depression. So people feeling very low in mood, not having any motivation to do anything, no enjoyment in things. And if they're feeling really bad, to the extent that they want to hurt themselves or to end their life. And for people obviously who have lost loved ones, then obviously they may be going through the grieving process. people also have been quite sort of more irritable and angry than normal. And obviously these are both normal emotions, but actually in these unprecedented times, I think we're seeing more of that. And people, some people feel that they've lost their sense of entitlement for what they're actually want to do and are able to do. What I would say is that, you know, that's the time to then make sure that you call on your support network and, you know, have a face or a Zoom chat with a friend or something like that, or try and see some family members. And also what we're seeing as a direct result of this, particularly for the healthcare professionals, are trauma symptoms. And I have seen people with trauma symptoms because of what they've experienced being in the front line. Anxiety is another symptom that people are experiencing. And I think we've sort of covered it really, but I think it's because around people losing jobs, people being furloughed, and also for people now, actually, the prospect of having to return to the office. And so that for some people is making them anxious because they've been cocooned for the last year. That actually feels very anxiety provoking.
You're right. There's so many different reasons that lockdown might have impacted people. And some people haven't had as severe side effects and haven't felt those issues. And some people have felt them very extreme. Again, there's such a spectrum of responses. And also people fluctuate throughout lockdown. I feel like it's just so not black and white. I've spoken to some people, and at the beginning, they quite liked the peace and quiet and sort of being at home, and you can knuckle down and get on with some work. And everyone in the first lockdown was, oh, I'm going to work out more and I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to do this project I've always been meaning to do. And then I think people so fluctuate with how their mental health responds to the events as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, like you say, by the third lockdown, when last summer, you know, the country was starting to open up again and people were starting, you know, to tentatively put their foot in the water and start meeting up with people and dining out and things like that. And suddenly to then have that all taken away again, you know, I think it's really difficult. It is really difficult. And so, you know, as we're now coming out of the third lockdown, I think people are, well, I think there's, again, a sort of a couple of arms to that. I think some people are almost running with it and going with it because, you know, there's this urgency to get out and get back on with things. But I think the flip side is you've also got other people that are quite cautious about coming out of lockdown. And I think some of that is to do with the fear that could we actually go back into a fourth? So I think the fact is that there's no clear pathway of what was going to happen over the last year that has impacted on, therefore, how people have responded to that, because it hasn't just been a nice clear path. You know, we were in lockdown, we were out of lockdown, we're back in lockdown and we're out of lockdown. So, you know, and I think all of that has contributed as well.
Drive on Phoenix FM, brought to you in association with St. Francis Hospice, doing more than you think.
That was Mimi Webb with Good Without. You're listening to Georgia on Drive in association with St. Francis Hospice. Today, for Mental Health Awareness Week, I'm joined by Dr. Grant. Dr. Grant, thank you so much for being here. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the symptoms and types of mental health issues and how they've been affected by lockdown. We also started to touch on how the lifting of lockdown has also been causing some issues for people. Some people are just desperate to get back out and their mental health has been struggling because they've been stuck indoors and they haven't been able to sort of get on with their lives. And so they're really excited to get back out. But I actually know a lot of people who are very nervous because for a year now, we've been told it's not safe to leave the house.
Absolutely.
And suddenly we're being told we should be leaving or we should be getting back to normal. And people are finding that really stressful. Is there... anything you would recommend to people as we start to open up in lockdown? Are there any sort of exercises or mindsets that you recommend people sort of practice to help with that?
I mean, I think it's important for people to come out of lockdown at their own pace and not to feel pressured, which I guess is difficult if you've got employers saying you must return to the office. But I think people have to try and do it at their own pace. I think this is where it's important that they have support networks, friends, family who they can rely on and, you know, like I say, tentatively put some their feet in the water to try and encourage them to go out. But also it's just about basic self-care. So it is about the basic things such as making sure that you sleep well, making sure that you eat as well as you can, you know, and we all know that exercise releases the happy chemicals, so the endorphins in the brain that make you feel better. So if you're doing some exercise regularly, you know, I guess, and not turning to things like alcohol, recreational drugs to help self-soothe, because actually they're not going to help in the long run. So I think it's actually about supporting each other, using your support networks, you know. And I think if an employer is saying you must come back to the office, it may be as simple as, can I have a chat with you? Because actually this is something I'm really struggling with. If you expect me in the office 5 days a week, can I at least just start with do one day a week to see how I get on, and then ease myself back in gently? And I would like to think that employers will be supportive of staff, because I think they're also aware of how difficult things have been. So I think it's about a lot of support for people, really, and pulling on those resources around you that you have got to use to hand to help you get back out at your own pace.
I think that's such good advice. Communication and support networks are so important. I know that also I've found really useful apps in the past and things. There's so many great sites these days that are really useful.
Yeah, and there is, you know, that the internet has a raft of details and agencies, from different agencies that can support people. So, you know, because there's the NHS out there, you've got charities and voluntary sector, and then you've got the private sector, which is the sector that I work in, you know. But actually a good starting point is just the NHS website. You know, I've been on there and it has some really valuable information. Mindfulness is a process to keep you grounded, and actually if you're feeling anxious and nervous and worried about something, then what you need to do is you need to ground yourself and keep yourself in the here and now, so that your thoughts aren't running away with themselves and your thoughts are going from molehills into mountains. So mindfulness is a really helpful technique for people who are anxious, which you know, now is a really valuable time to be doing this. But like I say, the NHS website has actually got a page on mindfulness and how to practice it. So, you know, you don't, even if you're worried about seeking support on, like you say, over Zoom or on a face-to-face basis, you can seek, you know, some help just off the internet. And like you say, in apps as well, Headspace, I have people that use Headspace.
You mentioned their mindfulness. I have to say that's something that I found so invaluable. I was introduced to that by doctors when I was struggling, but I found that something, like we were talking about at the beginning, you exercise to look after your body. I find mindfulness is just something that I'm a very strong advocate. I talk about it with everybody that people should just be doing things like Headspace on a regular basis, because it really just focuses you and it improves everything, really. It just makes you more aware of how you're feeling. And therefore, if you're feeling worse, you become more aware of the underlying issues that you can then address. You also mentioned there a little bit about private sector and doctors and charities. If someone were to feel like they were maybe having a worse case than something that they can deal with themselves or with their personal support network, or if they feel they know someone who might be suffering on a much higher level, how would you recommend someone go about, you know, getting professional help?
If it's more than that, then you may need something what's called cognitive behavioural therapy, or CBT. And what that does is, because how we think affects how we feel, which affects how we behave. And that's a cycle that we're all doing without knowing we're doing it. So just to give you an example, if someone's feeling depressed, their thoughts may be that they feel worthless or they feel rubbish and useless. That makes them feel down. And so they may behave then by shutting themselves away, isolating themselves. But all that does is reinforce their thoughts that they're useless, they're rubbish, etc. And so you go round and round in this cycle like a hamster on a wheel that you can't get off. And so CBT helps you to challenge that cycle, break that cycle, so that you actually turn your negative thoughts into positive thoughts, and then that helps how you're feeling. So CBT would be an option if you were really struggling. And then if that on its own isn't enough, then you've got the options of medication. So the antidepressant medications, which you would only use if someone was more severely unwell. If they were mildly unwell, then you would look to try and manage it with CBT and therapy in the first instance. But the antidepressants help with both depression and anxiety, not just depression. And I don't think people always realise that, that actually they do help with both.
Where would you recommend people go for maybe more information if they're not sure what avenue they should pursue?
I would say the internet is a good source of information. My number one recommendation would be to go onto the NHS website as a good starting point. And on there, it has the links to voluntary agencies, charity agencies. If you're in a position where you're going to go down the NHS route, then that would be to speak to your GP as the first port of call. I mean, it may be then, like I say, that you go down the charity route or the voluntary sector route to get some help. But if you need more than that and you're able to pay for a service, then that's where the private sector comes in. And, you know, people at the Priory, you can just Google the Priory online and pick the phone up and phone and say, you know, I'd like an appointment. So you don't have to go through your GP. Sometimes we like to have information from a GP if things are more severe. People can just phone the Priory and say, you know, I'm struggling with X, Y, or Z. I really do need to see somebody. Then that's also perfectly fine. So again, they're on social media, so you can access it through that way. So it's speak to your GP as a starting point. And if you feel that you need something quicker in a more timely manner and you're in a position to be able to go down the private route, then that would be, you know, another option. So there are three different avenues as a starting point, but the internet is a good place to start.
Absolutely. And as we've been talking the whole way through, nothing is black and white, is it? And everyone is different with what they need, how they feel comfortable addressing. I think it's really great to hear you just say, you know, just whatever people feel most comfortable is important just to do something. So thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Grant. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Georgia. Nice to see you.